Fantastic.
Okay. Last week we saw, we've been looking at James, this book of James, and we've been seeing that this is wisdom for pilgrims. That is wisdom for Christians who are far from home and face trials of many kinds. And here is the wisdom we need in the face of those trials. And last week we began looking at God's wisdom for temptation. And the big questions for us last week were, do you recognize it? Do you understand it? Do you know what to do with it? Temptation. And we had a brilliant week getting a handle on that a little bit more. I hope you really enjoyed that. Let's have a quick recap on some of the things we saw. We saw temptation is this. Temptation is when one of our desires, it may be a good desire, it may be a bad desire, but when one of those desires, good or bad, creeps up on us and tries to rob God of his top spot, his proper top spot in our lives, his good top spot in our lives. Do you remember that? We saw that our hearts are full of all sorts of desires, and often quite good desires. A desire for peace and security, love and popularity, love to love others and do good to them. That's what we desire, to know and love God. This is one of our desires, to give my children what is best, to live in a nice home, an intimate sex life. Success and prosperity. These are all normal, healthy, God-given desires. But we saw that our lives get out of whack. We will find ourselves being tempted and we'll find ourselves actually sinning when these desires get out of whack and get out of their proper order and place. So, for example, my desire for love and acceptance is a good and healthy desire. But what happens when that takes an inappropriate size in my life, like when it might become, say, greater than my desire to give my children what is best in their lives? What happens when that gets out of whack and one becomes greater than the other? See, that way is the way it should be. But what happens when it becomes that? The love and desire for acceptance becomes way stronger than that other one. Well, my life gets out of whack. I will start responding and treating my kids inappropriately. I might neglect them. I might even abuse them as I try and whip them into shape to be what I want them and need them to be. It's a good and healthy desire when it's in its proper place, but harmful and deadly when it takes on an improper place and size in my life. See what I'm saying? See how lives get out of whack when our desires, even our good desires, get into the wrong place. And what is helpful for us to know and learn is that this is what all temptation is. This is what all sin is. It's when a desire, it may be a bad desire, it may be a good desire, it might be a bad desire, seeks to creep up and be more than it should be more powerful and controlling than it should be. In particular, sin and temptation is when some other love or desire comes and tries to rob God of his proper and rightful spot in our lives. Keep God in his proper place as first in your life, and then all these other bits of our lives will find their proper spot. Lose God from his top spot, and everything else will become unstuck. Right? This is the lesson we're meant to learn from Adam and Eve. Right? This is one of the first stories of the Bible. They lose God in the proper spot, and the whole world starts to come unraveled. And you see that through the first two chapters of Genesis. More and more, the world just unravels and unravels and unravels. We need to keep God in his top and proper spot. So that was last week. That was some greater insight into what sin and temptation is. That is something of the anatomy of what is going on during temptation and during sin. Now, of course, this week, the important question is, what is the wisdom for dealing with that? We don't want to just know about what's going on. We want to know how to deal with that when it's going on. And I guess overall, you can immediately, probably what you already can see, is what we need to do is try and keep God in the top spot. So when we keep God in the top spot, all else will begin to fall into place. And so how do you do that? What is the process for that? What are the habits we need to form in our daily walk with Jesus to allow that to happen? Well, here we go. In our daily walk with Jesus, it's about seeking life in Him. L-I-F-E. Okay? And L is for locate. Okay? The first bit of wisdom you need for dealing with temptation is you need to locate those moments where you find yourself living or being tempted to live contrary to God's word. Ask yourself, where am I not living the way God wants me to? You need to tune into those points of dissonance. So, for example, you go, hey, I just lied. God wants me to love the truth, but I've just lied. Point of dissonance. Or, I've just snapped at my spouse again. I've just yelled at the kids again. God wants me to be kind and patient and gentle, and I've just snapped again. Dissonance. Or, I've looked at that stuff on the internet again. God wants me to be pure. He wants me to have a pure heart and a pure mind. And I've just been sucked in again. Or, it's Sunday morning. I don't want to go to church this morning. Right. No, God wants me to meet with Him and His people each week. And I've missed church so many times already this month. Dissonance. Locate those moments. Notice those moments. As we said last week, sometimes temptation and sin can be extremely obvious. They hit, smacks us in the face when disturbed by it, and it's really uncomfortable, and we know it. We can see it right there. Sometimes, though, it can be extremely subtle temptation happening, and you don't even notice it. You don't even notice it until it's too late, and you're just going, just a second, how did that happen? What we need to do, though, is to develop that practice, that habit of locating those moments. And, of course, your daily habit of reading the Bible is so crucial here. This is one of the reasons why we need to be reading the Bible. To be able to do this well, we need to be clear on what God is looking for in our lives. We need to be familiar with what our wonderful Lord requires of us. So reading a passage like Colossians 3, you see all the things that God requires us. Here is the beautiful life He's looking to form in us. You need to be familiar with those things. You need to take time out to reflect on those things. What is He asking for there? Is that what's in my life? Notice these things. I promise you, locating those moments won't be really that hard when you are reading the Bible and praying about it. If you sit down with your Bible and start by praying, Lord, show me your ways, He will answer that prayer. And can I say, if you want help with that this morning, if you're needing help with that in your life, what I have found is in my life recently is this resource, Explore. It's a daily kind of Bible reading plan. It helps you read the Bible. It gives you some questions to ask and reflect on the passage and some ideas to think about and pray about in your life. I've found that extremely helpful when getting my Bible reading life on track and prayer life on track. So I've got 5 free copies to hand away this morning. If you need help and you think you'd like to give this a go, come see me afterwards and I can give you one of those. Now, the first step is to overcoming temptation is locate those moments. Where am I not living the way God wants me to? Now, your turn, right? This morning is going to be intensely practical and hands-on. I'm going to give you a minute to locate one of those moments. So you've been given one of these this morning, and there's a pencil in your pew. Grab one of the pencils. L is for locate. Write that down. And now take a minute to locate one of those moments in your past week. Think back on your past week. What was something you did this week which was not what God wanted you to do? What did you say yes to when you should have said no? What did you say no to when you should have said yes? I won't ask you to share this. This is just between you and God. If you want to write it down in code so the person who's looking over your shoulder next to you can't don't know what you're, they don't realise what you're writing, then feel free to do that. It's just between you and God. You're not going to be asked to share. Does anybody need a pencil? I've got spare pencils? Nobody. Okay. Take a moment to do that. Locate a moment in your week. What did you say yes to when you should have said no? What is something you said no to when you should have said yes? First bit of wisdom, you need to locate those moments. The second bit of wisdom for dealing with temptation is this. You need to investigate that moment. I is for investigate. Investigate that moment. Search through what is going on for you. What is actually happening? Particularly, you're wanting to ask what desire, it may be a good desire, it might be a bad desire, but what desire is creeping up on you and trying to knock God from his top spot in your life? What desire has just become more attractive to you than God himself? See, think about it. Very rarely is it just this surface thing going on. It's usually something deeper. See, why did I lie? Well, I didn't lie because I just love lying. I love deceiving people. It's just so much fun, right? You don't lie because you love lying. There's something else going on, isn't there, that made you lie? Or, you know, why did I blow my top at the kids again? Well, it's not because I just love getting angry. It makes me feel so good. No, there's something else pressing your buttons going on for you. And you need to uncover that. What is going on that means I blow my top like that? There is something else, some other desire creeping up, trying to take control, trying to get its way, saying, don't listen to God, listen to me. And you want to investigate that. You need to dig that. The question is why? Why did I just do that? What desire has just become more attractive to me than God himself? What voice am I listening to at that point more than the voice of Jesus? So I lied. Why did I lie? Why did I lie? I didn't want to lose respect. I wanted to protect my reputation. My reputation became more important than God's reputation at that point. Why did I just snap at my spouse or yell at the kids? Oh, I've had a hard day. I just want to come home and I just want peace and quiet. I don't want to have to solve all these problems. I don't want to be hassled by these other things. And so I realized my comfort has become more important to me than God and his desire for me to love and serve my family. Why did I look at that stuff on the internet? Because it makes me feel good for a moment and keeps me from all those other hassles going on in my life. And so I realize my pleasure has become more important to me than God's desire for me to be pure, to have pure thoughts and a pure heart. Why am I missing church? Well, I just feel like there's all these other things to do. There's the shopping, there's the kids' birthday parties, the sports, and I realize I feel like if I don't do all these other things, then I'm afraid of missing out. And sometimes it, rather than kind of understanding what the desire is, sometimes it's easier to work out what the fear is. The fear is often a fear of losing this other thing, what you really, really love. So maybe you can work it out through the fear. This fear, I've forgotten all the slides I had. My reputation becomes more important than God's reputation. My peace and quiet is more important than my desire to love and serve my family. My pleasure becomes greater than God's desire for my purity and holiness. And then missing out, this fear of missing out, has suddenly become more important than God and his desire for me that I seek first the kingdom of God. See what investigate might look like here? Now, this can be a bit tricky for some of us. Some of us are just not used to thinking about these things, reflecting on things, putting our thoughts and feelings into words. That might feel very, very foreign to us and can take a bit of practice. also for some of us, it's also a bit scary to dig beneath the surface. It's scary just kind of scratch at that scab for what it may uncover. But can I say that through it all, we have a wonderful helper, the Holy Spirit. As you seek to investigate, ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate these things in your heart. This is one of the things that the Holy Spirit is longing to do in your life. He wants to lead you into all righteousness, and he does that by uncovering these things in our lives and helping us and leading us to Jesus. He doesn't care about whether you speak in tongues or something like that, these other weird, wonderful experiences that you often hear about. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to uncover these things in your heart and lead you to Jesus. That is powerful spiritual work. So do you get the gist of this one? Investigate. Your turn. Okay? Eyes for investigate. Take a minute to investigate that moment you just located a little bit earlier. Right? What you just wrote down, have a look at that. Think back on that moment. The big question is why? What? Whoops. What desire has just become more attractive to you than God himself? In that moment, what voice sounded more beautiful than the voice of Jesus? Have a think about that. First bit of wisdom, locate those moments. Second bit of wisdom, investigate those moments. Third bit of wisdom for dealing with temptation is this. F is for fix. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Now, often the advice at this point, right, when you've just uncovered what you're doing wrong and why you might be doing it, is just to say, just don't do it. That's often the voice, isn't it? Sheer willpower. Just don't do it. Don't lie. Don't go down that path. Refuse it. Don't lie. Don't sign up for those Sunday morning tuba lessons. Just don't do it. And that may work for a bit. Just uncovering, just merely uncovering these things and just seeing them for what they are, it may just, yeah, you go, right, I'm not going to do that. That may work, but often what is required if you want to see real, deep, lasting changes more than just sheer willpower, you need the power of God. You need God in his mighty power and goodness to reach into your life, to reach right into your heart, and to replace that misplaced love with a greater love. A greater love that puts these other things back in their proper place. See, that is the only thing that can really help us over the long run. See, what pushes a desire back into its proper place? It's a greater desire that comes and takes top spot. A better, more appropriate desire. And we know this. We need God back in his rightful place. And then that will sort all these other things out. How do you come to love God more and more and more? You fix your eyes on Jesus. Only that thing can do that for you. When we do that, the power of God gets activated in our hearts. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, the power of God is made manifest in our hearts. See, when you look at Jesus, you see how beautiful and wonderful and lovely and glorious and valuable he is. You see how terrible and ugly and despicable is your sin, and you see how his free forgiveness, full and free and cleansing, and you fall in love with him all over again. You realize, what is worth trading in that for? Here's the pearl of great price that is worth giving up all else for. Here's the treasure in a field you give all else up for. It's like the businessman away on a work trip, far from home, and far from his dear wife and children. And there he is one night, really tired and tempted by that beautiful woman. What does he need to do? He needs to pull out his wallet and he needs to open it up and he needs to see that photo there, doesn't he, of his beautiful wife and his beautiful children. And he needs to realize there is nothing worth giving that up for. There is no fleeting pleasure worth destroying his family for. And so too with us. Here is Jesus, and here is my comfort and pleasure. Is it worth trading in Jesus for my own comfort and pleasure in this world? No! In Christ, I have eternity before me. Here is Jesus. Here is my reputation. Is it worth trading in Jesus for my own good reputation in this world? No! In Christ, I am a child of God and my name is written in the book of life. Here is Jesus, and here is riches, here is fame, here is a nice house by the sea, here is the love of a man or a woman. Is it worth trading in Jesus for any of these things? No, in Christ, I am richer than I can possibly imagine. I have love that is willing to die for me. If I join Christ and his church, will I really miss out in life? No. In him, I gain everything. He is the way and the truth and the life. He is the good shepherd who is able to lead me through the darkness into the light, into life. There is the power of God. The power of God is found in Jesus. When you fix your eyes on Jesus, when you see how beautiful he is, what we have received in him, that changes our hearts. That is great power, the power to change these hearts from being hearts of stone to hearts that can live and breathe following Jesus. Your turn again. F is for fix. So have a look, think about that. Spend a moment. In response to the why you uncovered under the last point, investigate. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to see how Jesus is more beautiful and lovely and worthy. So ask questions like this. How is Jesus more beautiful and lovely and valuable? How does Jesus promise so much more? Take a moment to do that. We need to keep coming back to Jesus and keep seeing his beauty and his riches, because the only thing that can put these other loves and fears back in their place is a greater and greater and growing love for Jesus. Locate, investigate, fix. E is for engage. The final bit of wisdom this morning is engage. Engage God in prayer. This is what God encourages us to do. You know, he says, don't hold back. Hebrews says, Draw near in your time of need. Draw near to the throne of grace in your time of need. And if you are being tempted, if you've just sinned, this is what you need to do. Don't hide your face. Don't go, oh no, I can never come before God. No, no, God wants you to come. That's why Jesus came, for you to come and find help in your time of need. This is what we need to immediately do. Bring all of these things to God in prayer. In particular, as you think through these things, there are three things that are really good to do at this point. Firstly, confess. Confess your temptation or sin. Confess your misplaced love or fear. Say, sorry, sorry, God. Let him know that you are struggling and being tempted. Secondly, I've got that wrong. Secondly, thank God. Don't worry about those three things. Thank God. Thank God for sending Jesus. Thank God for Jesus, who is far more lovely and more beautiful and worthy. Thank him for his forgiveness and that you can draw near in your time of need. Thank him that God wants you to have life and have it in all its fullness. And then thirdly, pray. Pray for God's help. Pray that your love for Jesus might grow and grow and grow, and that your love for these other things might find their rightful place. Pray for God to help you to walk according to Jesus and not according to these other loves. Ask for God's help. It doesn't need to be complicated. It's not meant to be rocket science. Just pray according to what you know and what you've learnt, what you understand, and what God has just revealed to you. So, your turn. Engage God in prayer. Confess, thank, pray. Okay? Take a few moments to do that now. Life, locate, investigate, fix, engage. It doesn't need to be complicated. This is what happened for me yesterday. In the morning, I go to the boys' school. They've got their big school fete on. Will is playing with his band. They won the band comp a couple of weeks ago, and they get a whole hour set, right? Just the play and jam away, and I really love listening to them play. I'm really looking forward to it, really excited. Rock up, there they are, they're about to start, and then suddenly I hear this, Paulo, and I look, and it's this old friend from youth group days, right? I haven't seen him since youth group days, and say hello, how you going? And she starts to unload. Basically, this week her life has fallen apart. Her husband has had an affair and left, just moved out of the house without saying anything, leaving her with her three boys. As you can imagine, she is in a world of hurt and a world of pain, very confused, wondering how she's going to get by. Three teenage boys. No,
year 10, year 7, year 3. Please forgive me, I feel really ashamed of this. But I don't want to listen to her right now. I want to listen to my son. This is what I want. What does God want? To give a moment of love and attention and care to this hurting person. Here is a moment to follow Jesus and to care. And I notice this moment of dissonance, don't I? I want this. God wants this. So I bring this moment to Jesus. What's going on? I investigate it. And then I fix my eyes on Jesus. I see the beauty and the healing he brings in people's lives, and hence he brings in my lives as he serves me and he listens to me and he's patient with me. And I pray, sorry, Jesus, for being selfish. Thank you that you're always there for me. Help me to be here for this person right now for your glory. It doesn't mean to be complicated. It doesn't need to take a long time. That was a wrestle in my heart that probably took 3 or 4 seconds. I hope she didn't notice. Here's the thing. Jesus hasn't saved us to stay the same. You know, like the guy who's just gone through a wonderful life-saving operation, a full heart transplant, right? He used to be a 5-pack-a-day guy. His life was being choked. And here he has his new lease on life, a brand new heart. How wonderful that is. Can you imagine the new lease on life this person has just received? But then what does he do first thing when he goes out of the hospital? It's outrageous, isn't it? It'd be a tragedy, wouldn't it? It's so tragic. Here is this new lease on life, and the first thing he does is light up a cigarette. And how tragic and outrageous it is when we just stay unchanged by the love and salvation of Jesus. Jesus has come to save you from sin, from these misplaced loves. This is how we grow and gain the life God has made for us. This is how we can break the cycle and patterns of sin in our life. These are the habits we need to form in our daily walk with Jesus. In our daily walk with Jesus, we need to seek life in him. We need to locate and investigate those things that seek to rob Jesus of his lordship in our lives. We need to fix our eyes on him and engage and invite God's power and love into our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. We're so grateful that he has come to save us from sin. And we're so sorry for those moments in our lives where we just get things out of whack. We just let these other things creep up and distract us from your wonderful saving grace and your wonderful lordship in our lives. So sorry. We're so sorry that we listen to the voices of others. We let other things set the priorities in our lives rather than daily coming to you and seeking your wonderful rule, your wonderful voice, your wonderful guidance in our lives. Thank you so much that you haven't treated us as we deserve. Thank you so much for Jesus and for his wonderful love and grace and forgiveness and cleansing. Thank you so much that he washes us clean from all our sins and that we can always draw near to your wonderful throne of grace to find help in our time of need. Father, please help us. Please help us to keep fixing our eyes on Jesus. Please help us to set in place daily habits of reading your word prayerfully, of meeting together with other Christians who might encourage us in that. please keep helping us to take your love into our hearts and keeping you at a top place in our lives. We ask this in his great and powerful name and for his glory. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Stand and sing.